Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Friday morning, and since I have a few minutes, I'm getting a lot of requests to keep up these current events things. So I will do one by way of supplying some background for what I think is going to become a big issue. I mean, I'm sure it is. I wish I was wrong. Again, this is being sponsored by Mayor Jacobson and by Michal Rennert in Zecher Nishmas, in memory of their Michal's relative, who was killed in the fighting the other day, Roy Chaim Ben Yisrael Meir Weiser from Efrat. So obviously, you know, we pay tribute to the memory. And let me get right into matters. As far as I can tell, looks like the Israeli army is about to go mamish into Gaza to have a ground war. And it's not going to be an easy business, of course. And you can understand, you know, the civilian population, all the other things, plus the booby traps. I always called Stalingrad, because that's what the Russians did. They just, you know, wouldn't give up the town, and it made the Germans spend a lot of blood trying to go block by block. And that's what Hamas will try to do. Although, as I said before, the good news is they have a limited number. They don't have an endless supply of people. Still, they have enough to cause a lot of trouble. Now, I hope I'm wrong, and some nace happens, and that would be nice. But going regular, but Derech HaMelchama, is not simple. And a key element, as you and I think, know, anybody who follows these things even a little bit knows, is going to be the tunnels. Because who knows how many miles of tunnels they've been working on for many, many years. Israel knew it, and they let it happen. This is, you know, one of the problems with Bibi, but whatever. What happens with the tunnels? This is an interesting thing because this they get from North Korea. North Korea is not only a dictatorship, but North Korea, back in 1950, had what they called the Korean War. When North Korea invaded South Korea, North Korea was Russian satellite. South Korea was sort of an American-type satellite. And it's a famous episode that it was a surprise attack in June, I think, of 1950. And the North Korean army just overran the frontier, sort of like Hamas did the other day, and overwhelmed the South Koreans. And President Truman at that time sent the American army to sort of like rescue the South Korea. And it was back and forth and forth and back. It was very bloody. And what's famous is that, because the war went like a seesaw, and Truman sent General MacArthur, America's top general in that part of the world, who was 70 years old. And the North Koreans overran like 95% or more of South Korea. There was just a little piece left that the Americans were hanging on to, called Pusan Perimeter. But MacArthur staged a famous surprise attack in Incheon, which is all the way in the rear of the North Korean armies. And it was a brilliant success. And it busted the whole North Korean and communist invasion. And it reversed it so that MacArthur's armies, which was the American armies and the South Korean armies, whatever was left of it, drove the North Koreans out and then overran and then invaded North Korea. If you can do it to me, I can do it to you. But if you know the geography over there, North Korea is attached. It's a peninsula. Look on the map if you don't know what I'm talking about. Look on the map. It's a peninsula sticking out from China and Russia. And China, which had just become communist under Mao Zedong, secretly send an army, and the Americans weren't expecting it. And when MacArthur's forces came up close to the Chinese border, the Chinese almost this time of the year. I think it was October 1950. Or November, maybe. Maybe it was November, Thanksgiving time. And they completely surprised the Americans and cut them to pieces. So what happened was that MacArthur's armies were almost destroyed. I'm oversimplifying, but for us, that's enough. And then it was in reverse. The Americans ran away. I mean, mamas ran away from North Korea, went back into South Korea, and then the North Koreans and the Chinese, combined, reinvaded South Korea. And it looked like it'd be a toma polo for the American army. I mean, they were talking in America about a complete disaster. But one of the things the Americans did to retard the advance was to bomb the hell out of them. America had a big air force. The communists at that time in Korea, without going into reasons, didn't. And so the Americans, and there was no such thing as CNN. And you didn't have all the things you have today that, you know, it's a war crime to hit civilians. And the Americans bombed them like crazy. So that held back to a certain degree the communist advance. And then the Americans got a good general who reversed things, General Ridgway, Matthew Ridgway. And he was a very good general. And he turned it around. And they started moving back north again. And he adopted a policy of, instead of trying to conquer more land, kill more of the enemy. In fact, I think it was called Operation Killer, Operation Ripper. The idea was to fight the war in such a way as you kill a velt of the Chinese. You'll tell me they have endless people. They don't have endless soldiers. In fact, Mao Zedong's son was killed in this whole thing. So the Chinese got a bloody nose. So there was very heavy fighting. And here's my point. In this very heavy fighting, the Chinese had the advantage that they have endless men. But the Americans had the advantage that they had this air force, which was pretty formidable, and was bombing the Chinese, you know, rear lines and lines of supply like crazy. So what do you do about that? Because if you can't bring up reinforcements and supplies for your soldiers, how are you going to win? That's when the Chinese came up with tunnels. You get it? If you look at the map, they had endless laborers, and they built a belt of tunnels from the Chinese frontier on the Yalu River all the way forward into North Korea. It's really quite remarkable what I'm saying, but they did it. And that way the American Air Force can't see them, and therefore the Chinese armies can get supplied. And it worked. That's why China was able to battle the Americans 51, 52, you know, until finally they came to some kind of restless armistice in 53. So this tunnel was against the Air Force. You know, it's a countermeasure. You have Air Force, so I have tunnels, so you don't know, the Air Force can't see where it's coming. So this became like a mixoa, a trademark, a specialty of the Chinese, especially the North Koreans, and of the communists in general in Asia. Because this was immediately picked up by the Vietnamese, who at that time were fighting the French to get their independence from the French. The French used to control Vietnam, as you would call today, Indochina, as a colony. And there was a bloody war from 1945 to 1954, which the communists eventually won. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons they won was that they were able to dig tunnels and built a whole belt of tunnels. I mean, not just a tunnel here and there, an entire complex of tunnels. And they were able to come and surprise attack the French here and then go back into the ground. You know what I mean? Things like that. And the French didn't understand what was going on. And little by little, the French were busted. And when the Americans got into the Vietnam War, which was a terrible mistake, for some reason, I don't know why, they didn't cop what I just said. I mean, it's easy for me. I'm sitting here, you know, looking back historically, so as historians have 20/20 hindsight. I mean, I do understand that. Nevertheless, it seems like somebody was asleep at the switch, because the same thing happened when the American army was fighting in Vietnam, which was in the 60s and the early 70s, and they're fighting the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, as they call them at that time. These are terms that I'm dating myself. If I speak to a younger audience, I say Viet Cong. They don't even talking about it. But if you're an older person, you instantly know what you're talking about. And they built a whole network of these tunnels and all that kind of business right under the Americans. And that's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but it's an important reason why we lost a lot of men. And eventually, you know, we're defeated because America was defeated. You know, not exactly in the military way, but Lamaisa, they were defeated. And a major part of this was this tunnel thing. So this became, as I say before, like a specialty of the communists in Asia. And you do through the tunnels. If you follow news in general, you will recall that, if you're a news junkie, let's put it that way, you'll know in the last 20 years, from time to time, the North Koreans dig tunnels into South Korea so that they can make an invasion there. They're always looking to invade South Korea. So far, the South Koreans found this one, found that one. Nobody knows if they found them all, because Korea is a big place. And if there comes another war, which now would be a nuclear war, because the North Koreans have nuclear weapons, that's a separate schmooze. You can be sure that part of the invasion plans would be to use a tunnel. So in other words, here's the South Korean army at the border trying to hold back the North Koreans. And momish underneath them is coming a North Korean army, and they're going to come out in their rear and take them from the rear. You see? So the tunnels is like a major zah in the military thinking over there. As you know, North Korea has hooked up with the Palestinians for a long time. Already under the communists, when there was communism in Europe, was the Soviet Union, USSR, a major portion of the Soviet policy, a major feature of the Soviet policy, was helping the PLO and other groups against Israel, especially these East Europeans, the Czechs and the others, and the Soviets used to train all these terrorists and with high-tech equipment and things like that. It's what happened. Now, Israel got lucky in 1991 that all these countries disappeared. There is no East Germany, momish disappeared and swallowed up by West Germany. Poland, Czechoslovakia, Romania, these other countries who used to be communist satellites and were working against Israel, no longer are. There was like the fall of communism was like a big plus for Israel in that regard. As far as the Russians are concerned, you never know what's going on with them. They say one thing, they do another. I mean, that's the history of Russia. Misinformation, it's called. Disinformatia. On the other hand, North Korea has never made any, has never tried to hide the fact that they are helping Hezbollah, Hamas, this group, that group, in any way they can. So one of the ways, and it's not surprising because it's North Korea, he said, why don't you fight Israel by building tunnels? But the same idea. In other words, Chas v'Chalila, what happened last Simchas Torah? They just came across the fence over there and they surprised the Israelis, you know, openly and overran these settlements and killed everybody and did all these other atrocities. That's one way. Another way is you built a belt of tunnels and you build them under the Israeli fence and you come out and surprise everybody that way. And that would be a repeat of what the Vietnamese did and the North Koreans are trying to do all the time. As we know, this was like discovered by Israel, and they claim that they have countermeasures and things like this. There's no way to know if Israel found all the tunnels. And remember, if they find a few but they don't find the others, it's a bracha l'batala, because I won't go through the one that you know. I'll go and surprise attack you by the one you don't know. So this is like a real problem for the Israeli army. In addition to that, Hezbollah has been doing this in the north because, if anything, they are even more tightly connected to North Korea. This has to do with the fact that the North Koreans or part what they call the axis of evil, if you remember Bush Jr. coined that phrase. In other words, North Korea and Iran are really tight. North Korea and Iran, they're two dictatorships. They're both very ideological. They're different. One's, you know, almost a communist paganism, you might say. It's not even communist. It's just and the North Korea regime is just a worship of the leader. And if you don't worship him, you get killed. But, you know, Iran is a religious country, the Shiites. But nevertheless, they're very tight. They both hate the West and they both hate America. And there have been a lot of connections between Iran on the one hand and North Korea on the other. And therefore, a lot of North Korean specialists have been sent to Iran and from Iran to Lebanon. And one of the things they've been teaching them is the tunnels. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the things they're teaching them. Because they say, hey, it worked for us in the Korean War. And obviously, Israel can't bomb what they don't see. And anyway, if you dig from Lebanon into Israel, into the Galil, you can come out and surprise attack the Israelis. So one of the major activities in the last how many years of the Tzahal is to find the tunnels. You know, you never know if you get them all. Now, obviously, Israel's been working on its kind of technology. Israel's a Western country. Western countries try to fight these things through technological countermeasures. And so, like I say, Israel, you know, I read in the papers, you don't know what's true. I mean, the Israeli papers, you don't know what's true. They say they have, you know, these modern technological programs that they can discern where the tunnels are and, you know, all kind of things like that. But, you know, tunnels is a business. It depends how far down they are and how well fortified they are. The U.S. has bombs. I think they call them Daisy Cutter or something like that. I remember they used them after 9/11 against, what's his name, Osama bin Laden, you know, in Afghanistan. I mean, they do. See, everything in war, I'm serious now. What I'm saying is serious, is measures and countermeasures. You create a weapon, I create an anti-weapon. But then I create a weapon against your anti-weapon. You create a weapon against that sort of thing. It's sort of like Rashi has Akash on Tosis, Tosis has Akash on Rashi. Then you go back and forth and back in an endless cycle of measures and countermeasures. That is the nature of modern war. You know, that is mamish the nature of modern war. And I'm talking about 21st century war. I'm not talking about the old-fashioned 20th century, you know. That's the 21st century. So Israel's trying to get these anti-tunnels zachen, but you could be doggone sure that the enemy, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, North Korea, they are, I'm sure, working on technologies to block and frustrate the anti-tunnel technologies. So if what I just said is true, then, you know, hold your thought about the North. I spoke about that the other day. Chas v'chalo, they shouldn't get involved. You never know. You never know. And if they do, which I hope they don't, it will involve some kind of tunnel zach. You know what I mean? In other words, they'll pop up in the middle of the Galil somewhere. Who knows? However, when we're talking about the Hamas war in Gaza, which Tzahal is about to start, if the news reports are accurate, and I think, you know, this defense minister basically said that today, Gallant, and he's all personally, you know, ticked off because it all the Mechdal happened under his watch. And he's a general, you know, he was in the Israeli army. I mean, Yoav Gallant was a fighting general. I mean, I know a little bit about him. So he understands combat. And he's, believe me, I'm sure that one of the things they've been doing, because people say, how come it takes so long? How come they're not fighting already in the Gaza? So I'm sure part of it has to do with getting your supplies into place, because logistics is of gigantic importance. It's what people don't realize when they do these armchair games, you know, strategy games, you know, amateurs. But it's also, I'm sure, I mean, me, myself, and I think, I'm pretty sure that they're working Yom and Valila to try to figure out what's going to happen when they go into Gaza, what happens with the tunnels. You know what I mean? Like, what's the plan for dealing with the tunnels? And it's not going to be simple. I don't know, obviously, but we're all going to find out soon how these other guys are using the tunnels and vice versa. Now, I'll say for the 10th time, there is a big difference. And this is the only good part. But I could be wrong even on there. The Gaza Strip is sort of like isolated geographically. And so you have probably a belt of stuff in the tunnels. Listen, I'm asking you a question. How do they keep shooting rockets? Isn't that something? Now, Israel bombed the heck out of them, and they did. And they degraded this and that and the other with the Israeli Air Force, which is something we have and they don't have. And in spite of everything, and they've been fighting for days and days, and they still got rockets to shoot at Israel. And every time Israel goes for a little bit without rockets, they saw they ran out of them, and then it turns out it's not true. They have rockets. You know that. And they could shoot them even in Yerushalayim. You don't know where they're going to shoot them. The answer is they got them in tunnels or underground somewhere. The whole strategy of the Hamas is heavily connected with underground. And I don't blame them, you know. They're trying to maximize their advantage, as war is about, you know, trying to maximize your advantage and to minimize your disadvantage. And so it's going to be an interesting, I don't mean that, believe me, I'm not, what's the right word, you know, callous about life in the Israeli army. But having said that, it's going to be an interesting thing. I'm sure the generals around the world are watching. How's it going to be? Nobody ever fought a war exactly like this, where tunnels are a major component of the Zach. Now, I'll say it again. If the civilians weren't there, and they are, but if the civilians weren't there, there does exist the technology to blow the heck out of a tunnel. Like I said, America has these bombs. I think they're called Daisy Cutter. I forget. I'm not, you know, the world's expert in all the military stuff. But, and they could blow the heck out of a tunnel. You know what I mean? They could go deep in the ground. They're that power. It's just a question of how powerful your bomb is. On the other hand, look what happened with the hospital the other day. The minute they'll put a bomb somewhere and blow up a lot of civilians, they'll make a whole big tarum out of this. Now, you never know. What will Biden say? Will he say it's the Hamas fault for putting the civilians in this place? Or will the world say this is going too far and it's not humanitarian, it's a war crime and this and that and the other? I mean, this is going to be the nature of what we're, at least as far as I can tell, nature of what we're going to see. But it is a totsaw of this toxic relationship between the Hamas and the Hezbollah, but the Hamas on the one hand and North Korea on the other. The Hamas and the Hezbollah are not identical. And maybe I'll talk about that some other time. I mean, people just don't know these things. Because one is Sunni, one is Shiite, and that's a very, very big difference. In fact, it could be Iran is just playing the Hamas for suckers. I mean, there is a svara like that. But I don't want to get off too far off the tangent. But all this goes back to 1992, when Israel had a bunch of prisoners, terrorists, and they let them go for a certain reason. This is right when Rabin started. And it was a tremendous blunder that Israel did. And it wasn't simply that they let these guys go, but they sent them to Lebanon. Like Bill Clinton wouldn't let them, you know, do whatever they wanted to them. So I'm going to simplify. They sent them to Lebanon just like on a bus and then get the heck out of here. And when they got to Lebanon, busloads of the terrorists. So what do you do now? And Hezbollah took them in. And even though they disagreed, they said, listen, we both agree on fighting Israel, and we will show you how to do suicide bombers. That's how they learned, the Hamas learned how to do suicide bombers from the Hezbollah. And in addition to that, they hooked them up with the North Koreans, and you know, and one of the results is this tunnel business. So thanks a lot, North Korea, you know. It's part of the world in which we live. But as I said before, you should see I just wanted to share with you a little of the basic background. None of this, I'm telling you, secret. I mean, it's all, you know, WDUA, except there's a lot of things that are WDUA that people aren't familiar with and usually don't know. Even, you know, many Americans don't realize this, even though it goes back to the Korean War. That's one of the ways, as I said before, they were able to hold out against the American Air Force. Let me tell you, when the Americans, the communists fought the Americans sort of like to a standstill. I don't want to get into details, it'll take us too long. But when they finally did the armistice in 1953, when Eisenhower was president, so let's say, for example, the armistice is going to happen on Wednesday night. So on Wednesday day, Tuesday night, Wednesday day, the American Air Force bombed everything, every building in North Korea. I mean, almost flattened the place to show you can do damage. And they could. And you cannot live your whole life underground. And that is a fact. On the other hand, there's a lot of stuff you can do underground. And we're about to find out what this is. I hope their bones should make it. Israel had like a tunnel ray, you know, like in the movies. And, you know, could just put the ray into it and kill everybody in the tunnel or something, like all the Hamas people. But, you know, you and I are about to find out how this goes. Anyway, I just wanted to share that piece over there, especially in sponsorship of Mayor Jacobson and Chol Renner in Muncie and in Orlando. And again, we're paying tribute to Zecher Nishmas, Roy Chaim, the Israel Mayor Weiser, the soldier Hashem Yikov Damov, who fell fighting the Hamas, and then the Shama Shav and Aliyah. And with that, I wish everybody a good Shabbos.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.